All right, please take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse number 9. This is our starting point this evening. Matthew 5, verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Do you want to be known as one of the children of God tonight? Well, the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." In John, Christ told his disciples, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." And how was that? If they loved one another as he had loved them. Blessed are the peacemakers. Tonight we're going to look at a number of requirements for being a peacemaker. What is required of a peacemaker? Let's go over to Psalm number 34. You know, tonight as you would look at your own life, would you say, could you say, "I genuinely want to be, desire to be a peacemaker"? Webster's dictionary said, "A peacemaker, one who makes peace by reconciling parties that are at variance." A peacemaker. Well, in Psalm number 34 and verse 12, it says, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good?" He says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." I notice what it says there in verse 13. It says, "Keep thy tongue from evil." Now, if you want to be a peacemaker, first of all, it requires a holy tongue. It requires a holy tongue. "Keep thy tongue from evil." Then it says, "And thy lips from speaking guile." Requires a truthful tongue. Over in Psalm number 28 and verse number 3, it says, "Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts." What kind of a tongue do you have? Do you have that deceptive tongue? Well, that's not going to be one that's going to make for peace. You're not going to be a peacemaker. You're going to be one who stirs up strife. It requires a truthful tongue. In Psalm number 35 and verse number 20, it says, well, verse 19, "Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land." They speak not peace. They what? They devise deceitful matters. Truthfulness. Now, if you're going to be a peacemaker, it's going to require truthfulness in your dealings with others. Is your tongue characterized by truthfulness? But we find here it requires, there in Psalm number 34, it requires a separated life. Notice what it says. It says, "Depart from evil." All right, it says, "Seek peace and pursue it." If you're going to seek peace, you're going to have to separate yourselves from things. It says, "Depart from evil and do good." You know, pursuing after peace means that there are things that you are not going to be able to pursue after. Now, ultimately, we're going to see that God is the God of peace. And real peace is found in a right relationship with God. And if you're going to have a right relationship with God, if you're going to enable others to have a right relationship with God, it's going to require a separated life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, what does it say? It says, flee also youthful lust. And then it talks about, but follow after. And what's one of the things that you're supposed to follow after? Is peace. Well, in order to follow after peace, what does it mean? He says you've got to flee youthful lust. You've got to separate yourself from youthful lust. So if you're going to be a peacemaker, if you're going to be one that follows peace, it means you're going to have a separated life. Otherwise, you will not be a peacemaker. Okay, a peacemaker is not just one that says, all right, we're going to let all this sin happen. Okay, I'm not going to say anything about it. We're just going to kind of let it go on. No, the Bible says, depart from evil and do good. The Bible says, flee also youthful lust, but follow, one of the things you're supposed to follow after is peace with them that call out, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So it requires a separated life. It requires a righteous life. It says here, it says, depart from evil and do what? And do good. And over in Isaiah chapter 32, and verse number 17, I'm going to turn there quickly and I'll read the verse. Isaiah 32, 17, it says, and the work of righteousness shall be what? Shall be peace. It says, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Well, how is that? How is peace obtained? It requires a righteous life. You know, do you want peace in your household? Well, guess what it requires? It requires righteousness. You know, many times people, well, I don't want to disturb the peace, and so they let sin fester. Well, that's not a very good way to make peace in your household. Yeah, it might create some turmoil, but ultimately, if you're going to have peace, you have to have a separation. You have to have a separated life, but it also requires a righteous life. You know, there must be that commitment to righteousness. You know, and along those notes, if you turn over to, along that line, maybe line of thinking, if you turn over to Proverbs chapter 17, you know, if you're going to be a peacemaker, it requires fast action. Notice what it says in Proverbs 17, 14. It says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. You know, it's going to require fast action. You know, you think of the boy, you know, stuck his finger in the dike, you know, to keep, and he had to hold his finger there. Well, if he went to hold his finger there in the dike, what was going to happen? You know, the water is going to begin coming out and just get greater and greater. You know, you let water out, and before you know it, you know, it can wreak havoc quickly. If you're going to be a peacemaker, it's going to require fast action. All right, but getting back to Psalm number 34, it said, we find another requirement here. It says, depart from evil and do good. It says, seek peace and what? And pursue it. All right? Following, being a peacemaker requires a committed life. You know, you may say, you know, I've tried getting along with that person, but it just doesn't work. What does it say? It says, seek peace and what? And pursue it. There must be a commitment to it in your life. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, you know, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2, it talks about how it's going to require long suffering and forbearance. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right? Being a peacemaker is going to require a committed life. You've got to be committed. to being a peacemaker. You know, you've got to be committed to denying yourself. It says forbearing one another. It says, you know, with long suffering. It says endeavoring. You know, the King James defined Bible describes, defines endeavoring as striving, trying. You know, are you a peacemaker? Or when things happen, do you blow up at them? It says endeavoring, trying. Are you willing to deny yourself? We also see here in this passage that it requires humility if you're going to be a peacemaker. It says, with all lowliness and what? And meekness. You know, young person, if you're going to be a peacemaker in your class, guess what? It's going to require some humility. You're going to have to be willing to, you know, maybe somebody else wants to play kickball and you want to play baseball. Well, guess what? Somebody's got to give in. Somebody has to be willing to be the peacemaker. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. You want to identify yourself as a children of God? Then be a peacemaker. Don't have to have things your way. You know, as that teacher looks out and see that student that says, oh, that's okay, I'll do what you want to do. You know, we can go, obviously not in a wrong matter, but in a right, we can go play kickball instead of having to play baseball. You know, I can enjoy doing that. You know, they're going to take, no, that person's got something going for them. Boy, that person's acting like a saved person. All right, so it requires humility. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, only by what? Only by pride cometh contention. All right, if you're going to be a peacemaker, it's going to require humility in your life. What brings contention? Well, pride. When you have pride in the situation, it's going to bring contention. Now, you've got a lot of contention in your home. Well, there must be a lot of pride there. And it needs to be identified and rooted out. So being a peacemaker is going to require humility. Are you committed to that humility tonight that is required of a peacemaker? But we also find that being a peacemaker requires forgiveness. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Now, if you are going to be a peacemaker, it doesn't just happen. All right, there's requirements that the Word of God sets forth. All right, there's a holy tongue. There's a truthful tongue. There's a separated life. There's a righteous life. There's a committed life. There is fast action. There's humility. And here we find that there is forgiveness involved. Colossians 3 and verse 13, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Well, how are you going to allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts? When you're having that quarrel, you're not willing to forgive. Well, you're not letting the peace of God rule. And if you're going to be a peacemaker, it requires forgiveness. Do you want that blessedness? Do you want that truly joyous Christian life? Well, it requires forgiveness. You know, if there's going to be peace in your household, what is it going to require? Well, it's going to require people that are committed to forgiveness. You want a home that is characterized as a Christian home, what does it require? It requires forgiveness. We find that it requires forgiveness. It requires a loving heart. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It requires a loving heart. You know, if you truly love someone, it's going to be what? It's going to be much easier to have peace with that person. But if there isn't that love, that Christian love, Christ-like love in your hearts, it's going to be hard to have that peace. But not only does there need to be that love for others, there needs to be a love for God's word. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Now, if you can grab a hold of this verse and apply it to your life, it'll save you from a lot of problems. It'll save you from a lot of setbacks. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You know, you get offended at the pastor, you get offended at the deacon, or you get offended at a school teacher, or you get offended at Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. Well, what's your problem? The Bible says you need to love God's word more. And you know what? If you want to be a peacemaker, love God's word. And guess what? You're not going to be offended. You know, someone's going to say something, instead of it creating all this turmoil, it's not going to offend you. Blessed are the peacemakers. In that situation that would have created great turmoil, maybe great distress, because of your love for God's word and your commitment to righteousness, no longer is it going to create that turmoil in your life. So it requires a loving heart. It requires a submissive heart. Back to Colossians chapter 3. What does it say? It says, "Let the peace of God rule." All right, so you need to allow God's peace to rule in your life. You think of an umpire. You know, if they have, you know, they have arguments with the umpire, but what can the umpire do? Well, they can toss the person out of the game. You know, and they can keep arguing with the umpire and not leave. And guess what? Well, now they're going to be facing maybe suspensions for more games. And they're just going to get themselves in more problems. And in our Christian lives, in our homes, what are we to do? We are to allow the peace of God to rule. Do we let peace rule in our lives, in our homes? You know, is this going to make for peace? Or is this going to make for turmoil? Is this going to get this person irritated? Or is this going to get this person upset? You know, that's the human nature. Our human nature, you know, we like seeing people get mad sometimes. You know, if I can do this thing and just see that person blow up, haha. You know, let's watch them do it. You know, and that's just kind of our human nature. But what does the Bible say? It says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." You know, in the body of Christ, in the church, let the peace of God rule. You know, we need to submit ourselves to the peace, to God's peace. It requires a submissive heart if we are going to be a peacemaker. Do you have that submissive heart? Are you willing to say no to your flesh and to submit yourself to God's peace in your home, in your relationship with others, in your relationship with in the local church? The Bible says, "Let the peace of God rule." You say, "Yeah, okay, I'll let the peace of God rule, but I'm not going to be a very happy camper." Well, what does it say at the end of the verse? It says, "And be ye what? Thankful." You know, allow the peace of God to rule. Be thankful. It requires a submissive heart. Over in Hebrews chapter 12. Notice what it says in verse 14. We have a command here. Notice the beginning of the verse. It says, "Follow peace with all men." Doesn't say some men. Doesn't say just the people you like. Doesn't say just the people you get along with easily with. But it says, "Follow peace with all men." Are you going to submit yourself? Are you going to allow the peace of God to rule in your life? And lastly, I'd like us to see that this requires a relationship. Where does peace come from? Well, peace comes from God. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 33. Romans 15, 33, it says, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." All right, peace comes from God. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 26, you see the blessing. What was one of the aspects of the blessing that was to be pronounced upon the people in Aaron in Numbers chapter 6? It says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee," and what? "And give thee peace." You know, peace comes from God. Peace comes from a relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, now we're turning all over the place tonight, trying to move quickly here. It says, "For God," verse 33, 1 Corinthians 14, 33, says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of what? But of peace." All right, if you're going to have peace in your lives, if you're going to be a peacemaker, it requires a relationship with the God of peace. We see Jesus Christ is called the what? He is called the Prince of Peace. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, we have the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is peace. You know, you need to have a relationship with God if you are going to have peace in your life. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace," whose what? "Whose mind is stayed on thee." You know, a peace, real peace comes through a relationship with God. You know, how can we be a peacemaker? One of the great ways that we can be a peacemaker is to give the gospel. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." You know, and over in Romans chapter 10, in the New Testament, what does it say in verse 15? "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, what does it say in Ephesians chapter 6? "Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." You know, what's the greatest way really that you can be a peacemaker? To reconcile one who makes peace by reconciling parties that are at variance. You know, and ultimately, the greatest way you can be a peacemaker is to see a soul reconciled to God. You know, are you going to be that peacemaker tonight? Obviously, we need to have peace in our homes. We need to have a home that is characterized by Christ-likeness. And there are requirements of that. We went through a number of them. And we need to have that selflessness that creates an environment of peace. We need to have that environment of peace in the church. But as well, we can be a great peacemaker by what? By giving the gospel. By giving out the gospel of peace that will reconcile people with God. That will create, that will take away, that make a relationship of peace with God. You know, are you committed to being a peacemaker and giving out the gospel of peace? "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to be willing to identify areas in our lives that we have not been committed to being a peacemaker. Lord, may the Spirit of God work in each one of our hearts, even right now. And Lord, may we be willing to commit ourselves and submit ourselves, Lord, to your will of us being peacemakers. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is God working in your life?